Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew, back again now to tell you about four fascinating news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel's Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. Our stories this time are about perishable artifacts from dry caves in central Oregon, a very early Egyptian bow drill that's been hiding in plain sight for decades, evidence from islands near Greenland that the earliest human arrivals already could navigate across large areas of ice-free ocean, and an innovative modeling study of the late Pleistocene ranges of plants that became domesticated crops. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in October 2026 with our tour of spectacular sites in Turkey, including Göbekli Tepe. Registration is open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of February 8th through the 14th, 2026. Our first story comes from Central Oregon, where artifacts from two late Pleistocene sites help archaeologists understand how people responded to sudden climate change. As reported by phys.org, amateur archaeologist John Cowles excavated Cougar Mountain Cave in 1958. He kept many of the artifacts in his private collection until his death in the 1980s. The Favel Museum in Klamath Falls later acquired them. Researchers from the University of Oregon and the University of Nevada have now completed the first detailed scientific study of these materials. They also examined artifacts from the nearby Paisley Caves. Dry conditions in central Oregon slowed decomposition and allowed rare organic objects to survive in both cave systems. The collection includes bone needles, braided fiber cordage, and hide strips. Perishable materials from this era rarely survive in excavations, which makes these finds important for understanding daily life. Researchers used radiocarbon dating, zooarchaeology by mass spectrometry, and taxonomic identification to study the objects. Zooarchaeology by mass spectrometry identifies animal species through protein analysis. Radiocarbon dating shows that many of the artifacts date to the period from 12,100 to 11,000 years before present. These dates fall within the Younger Dryas, an abrupt cooling period that followed warmer, late Pleistocene conditions. Earlier research from this period focused mainly on big game hunting, because stone tools preserve more easily than fiber or hide. The Oregon cave collections provide direct evidence of perishable technologies that rarely appear in the archaeological record. One especially important object is a fragment of sewn elk hide. Researchers observed stitching made from plant fiber and animal hair cord that passes through the hide and ties off in a separate fragment. They propose that the piece may have formed part of close-fitting clothing, a moccasin, a bag, or a portable shelter covering. Researchers explain that sewing with bone needles allows tighter construction than loosely draped hides. Such construction likely improved insulation during colder conditions. They pointed out that no post-Ice Age cultural deposits in the northern Great Basin have yielded eyed bone needles, and they suggest that the warmed climate during this period might have made tight-fitting clothing less necessary. The study appeared in the journal Science Advances. Next, we turn to Egypt, where archaeologists have re-examined a small copper alloy artifact from a pre-dynastic grave. As reported by Heritage Daily, archaeologists excavated the object in the early 20th century from grave 3932 at the Badari Cemetery in Upper Egypt. The Museum of Archaeology and Anthropology at the University of Cambridge now houses it. The artifact measures 63 millimeters in length and weighs about 1.5 grams. Early researchers described it as a small copper awl with a leather thong wrapped around it. That short description guided its interpretation for decades. Researchers from Newcastle University and the Academy of Fine Arts of Vienna have now studied the object again. Microscopic analysis revealed fine circular wear marks, rounded edges, and a slight bending at the tip. These features suggest sustained rotary motion rather than simple puncturing. 6 tight coils of fragile leather remain around the shaft. Researchers interpret these coils as remnants of a bowstring. In a bow drill system, a cord wraps around a vertical shaft. A bow moves back and forth to create rapid rotation. Radiocarbon context places the artifact in the late 4th millennium BC, between 3300 and 3000. This period predates the political unification of Egypt and the rise of the Pharaonic state. Researchers also conducted metallurgical analysis using portable X-ray fluorescence. The alloy contains copper, arsenic, nickel, lead, and silver. This mixture would have produced a harder metal than pure copper. Presence of lead and silver may reflect deliberate alloying and participation in exchange networks across the eastern Mediterranean. Archaeologists have documented rotary drilling in later Egyptian contexts, including the New Kingdom in the 2nd millennium BC. This reassessment suggests that Egyptian craftspeople used mechanically assisted drilling more than 2 millennia earlier than previously thought, based on surviving tool sets. The study appeared in the journal Egypt and the Levant. We now look to Greenland, where archaeologists have examined how the first people in the high Arctic traveled across open water and interacted with a complex marine environment. As reported by ConnectSci, researchers from the University of Calgary and Elisima Tusarfik, the University of Greenland, documented 300 artifacts linked to early Paleo-Inuit communities. These groups reached northern Greenland after glacial retreat opened navigable sea routes. About 50 kilometers off Greenland's northwestern coast lies Kitsisut, also known as the Kerry Islands. Archaeologists identified tent rings and hearths on these islands. Radiocarbon evidence places visits to Kitsisut at 2500 BC. Kitsisut lies within Pikialasorsuak, the north water polynya. A polynya is an area of open water surrounded by sea ice formed by winds and ocean currents. Pikialasorsuak spans 85,000 square kilometers and supports abundant marine life, including seabirds and marine mammals. Much of the surrounding sea remains ice-covered for most of the year. Strong currents, fog, and crosswinds make travel difficult even today. Researchers note that reaching Kitsisut required a 50-kilometer journey across open ocean. For small, skin-on-frame watercraft, this crossing required careful navigation and planning. The archaeological evidence, surprisingly, suggests that early Paleo-Inuit communities made this voyage repeatedly to access seasonal resources such as seabird colonies and marine mammals. By transporting marine nutrients inland, these communities may have influenced local ecological patterns and seabird populations. The study appeared in the journal Antiquity. We close this week with a study that examines where the wild ancestors of major crops grew before early farming began. As reported by phys.org, researchers from the University of Copenhagen and the University of the Basque Country reconstructed the geographic ranges of 65 wild plant species linked to early farming in West Asia. These include the wild ancestors of wheat, barley, rye, and lentils. Archaeological evidence places the emergence of farming communities in West Asia at approximately 10,000 BC. However, researchers have known little about the natural vegetation surrounding these early settlements. The team combined large open data sets that track where plant species grow today with climate simulations that model past environmental conditions. They then applied machine learning to estimate where these species grew during the late Ice Age. The results show that many crop ancestors occupied smaller and more concentrated areas than earlier models suggested, Several species clustered along the Mediterranean coast of the Levant, rather than spreading broadly across the Middle East. Researchers identify this coastal region as a refuge during colder and drier ice age conditions. The findings suggest that early farmers relied on geographically limited plant populations instead of widespread ones. This method gives researchers a new way to study early farming. It doesn't rely on preserved seeds. Instead, it uses climate models to estimate where ancient plants grew. The study appeared in the journal Open Quaternary. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.